We're going to go ahead and go into the message now. Exodus chapter 23, if you will. If I can get a couple of the young men to come and hand these out, that would be great. And I can go forward here. Exodus chapter 23, and we're going to be looking at verse 15. Of course, if you remember, as we have been going through the study of the book of Exodus, we went through the different chapters there. Went through, of course, when Egypt was in bondage, and we went through how they were released from bondage. Of course, with Moses being a human deliverer, his arguing with God, and all of those types of things. We had them crossing the Red Sea, of course, on dry ground. God fed them, and God gave them water from a rock. And all of those things, we went through the Ten Commandments. We've been a long way as we've came through the book of Exodus. But then we got to chapter 23, and it kind of takes a turn, if you will. It starts talking about the observance of the feast. It starts talking about the instructions for the tabernacle over in chapter 25. So I wanted to jump over that on Sunday nights, and I wanted to go through these feasts and go through some teachings of the tabernacle and those types of things on Wednesday evenings. They are more of a teaching type, Bible study type, if you want to call it that, and it's just some great perspective that you can get on these things, just studying them out. And of course, through all of these things, seeing a picture of Christ and seeing exactly what we as believers can learn from these things. We've journeyed through the book of Exodus, and we've come to these chapters here, and I want to take some time over the next several weeks and study about some of these specifics surrounding the feast and then also the tabernacle as well. I haven't decided yet whether we're going to just go all the way through the feast or if we're going to do some of the feast here and then go to some tabernacle things and all of that, but either way, we're going to get through both of them, Lord willing, and I'm looking forward to this study here. And tonight, of course, on the top of your handout there, you can see that we are going to be discussing the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And I want you to look now at Exodus chapter 23, and I want you to look at verse 15, if you will. Notice the Bible says this. We're going to look at verse 14 and then look at verse 15. Notice, three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. Thou shalt keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded thee in the time appointed of the month Abib, for in it thou camest out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. Now, I want you to notice there, of course, we're going to study some more verses here. We're going to read some other verses that are on the top of your handout there. But I want you to notice, and I'm going to refer to it here in just a moment, but notice it says, thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded thee in the time appointed of the month Abib, for in it thou camest out of Egypt. So I want you to notice that. That's when they came out of Egypt. That's when we see this feast here of unleavened bread. I want you to turn back to Exodus chapter 12, if you will. Exodus chapter 12. And look at verse 15 through 17. Exodus chapter 12, verse 15 through 17. Notice where we're at here in Exodus chapter 12. Of course, the plagues have already came through. Wreaked havoc there in the land of Egypt because of Pharaoh's hardened heart. And that should be a warning to each and every one of us that God, of course, he spoke to Pharaoh over and over and over. He gave him sign after sign after sign. Pharaoh had plenty of time to repent. But even though things continued to get worse, Pharaoh kept relying on his own self and relying on man's wisdom. And things kept getting worse, and his country was then left in ruin because of all of these things. And now, of course, the children of Israel, they are being let go from Egypt there. And we see in chapter 12 that the Passover is instituted by God. He talks about the Passover. We'll talk more about this next week. We're going to look at the study of the Passover itself. But I wanted to kind of lay some groundwork here at the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The Passover, when we study that, what we're going to see is, of course, the truth of the Passover is found in the name. The Passover is named, of course, bathhouse, because when you put the blood in the bathhouse, what did the other blood say would happen? When I see the blood, I will pass over you. So that's where the name comes from. Well, then here, after the Passover, we see here in Exodus chapter 12, and verse 15 through 17, notice it says this. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Then in the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. Whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, thy soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be an holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, but only may be done of you. Notice, and ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For in the selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. Now notice, I want you to turn over to Exodus chapter 13, and we're going to look at verse 3 through 10. Exodus chapter 13 and verse 3 through 10. Notice, of course, here he's talking about the Passover as well. But I want you to notice here, Exodus chapter 13, starting in verse 3, the Bible says, "And Moses said to the people, remember this day in which he came out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. This day came ye out in the month Abel. And it shall be, when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of Canaan, of the Canaanites, and of the Hittites, and the Amorites, and of the Hivites, and of the Jebusites, which he sware unto the fathers to give thee, a land flowing with milk and honey. That thou shalt keep the service in the month. 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread, and the seventh day shall be a feast unto the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall no leavened bread be seen with thee, neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters. And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, this is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. There shall be for a sign unto thee upon thy hand, and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in my mouth, for a strong hand hath the Lord brought me out of Egypt. Thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in this season from year to year." Now, notice again, there in verse 8, it says, "This is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt." I'm going to mention some things that are going to apply to that verse as we continue through the message tonight. But notice the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The Feast of Unleavened Bread, it began, of course, on the day after the Feast of the Passover. The Passover lamb was slain on the 14th day, of the month there, and it was slain at sunset, which was the beginning of the new day. The Jewish clock, of course, runs different than our clock, and that day begins in the evening. But the Passover lamb would be slain in the beginning of the 14th day, then in the beginning of the 15th day would begin the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And it's important for us to realize that leaven, in the Bible, leaven always pictures sin. It does not picture anything good in the Bible. Anytime you talk about leaven in the Bible, well, you're talking about sin. You're talking about things that go against the word of God. That's what you're talking about, our sin nature. And leaven talks about that. When you talk about Egypt, we're talking about that many times going to the book of Exodus. Egypt is a picture of the world. Leaven is a picture of sin. So we see here this this feast here of the unleavened bread, remember though that leaven pictures sin. Now, some think that the children of Israel, they kept the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Some believe that they kept that feast when they were in Egypt. Now, we just read here in the scripture here, notice the Lord says that he told them to do that on the day in which they were leaving Egypt. That's when he commanded them to do that. And there's a lot of people that get those things out of perspective and all of that. Notice there in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 34, I believe it is. Yes. And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. Notice, they had this unleavened bread, and they were taking it with them. Why? Because that's when the Lord had instructed them to do this. This started here at the end of our bondage there in Egypt. And I want you to notice something. When you think of this Feast of Unleavened Bread, I want you to think about this thing that they were delivered from. We can put that in perspective with me and you as well. The children of Israel were delivered from Egypt. They were delivered from the world. They were delivered from that leaven here. Of course, that we see that leaven picture sin. So when they're delivered from bondage there, God tells them immediately, ensure that there's no leaven on this day. See, each and every one of us as believers as well, we need to understand that it's our job with the power of the Holy Spirit to ensure that as much as the Holy Spirit gives us power, we need to ensure that that there is no sin a part of our life. There's no unconfessed sin between us and God. We need to ensure, because we've been delivered from bondage. If you've trusted in Christ as your personal Savior, you've been delivered. There is no more fear of you ever going to hell. Again, to notice, just as the Israelites here, they were to abstain from leaven, because leaven is a picture of sin. We as believers, with the power of the Holy Spirit, we are to abstain from sin as well in our lives. That's what it needs to be for each and every one of us. These people had it prepared, and they were ready to observe the feast. As soon as they were freed from bondage, they were ready to observe this feast of unleavened bread. They were ready to be cleansed. You ever led someone to Christ, or maybe been in a service where someone gets saved, and after that you see that their life is a complete 180. They're living for God. They're on fire for God. They're just soaking up the scriptures. They're doing what God wants them to do, and it looks as though they can't get enough. They're going to serve God with their whole being and all that. That's how it should be. Why? Because all things are passed away. We're not part of that bondage anymore. We're free. These people are willing to be cleansed. We as believers, we should be hungry and thirsty to learn more about the Lord and His Word as well. We should be anxious to be separated unto God. The children of Israel were in Egypt, but they were not of Egypt. They were in bondage there, but God delivered them from that bondage. We are in this world, of course, but we are not of this world. Amen. We're just pilgrims passing through. We've got a homeland that's waiting for us, and that should be enough to get any of us as believers excited. This world is not our home, and praise the Lord for that, because this world is going the wrong direction. But praise the Lord, we can know that we have a home secured in heaven by trusting in Christ as our personal Savior. I want you to notice here, and very quickly, I want you to notice number one here, the length of the feast. I want you to look at Exodus chapter 12, and we're going to look at verse 18 through 19. Notice the length of the feast here, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Notice the length of the feast, verse 18 and 19. The Bible says this: in the first month, on the 14th day of the month at even, you shall eat unleavened bread. Until the 1 and 20th day of the month at even, 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Now notice here, the length of the feast here, and of course we're going to discuss many of these feasts as we go through this study here, but some of those feasts, of course, some are longer than others, some are shorter, and all of those things, but this one here we see is the length of 7 days. Now, of course, as you study the Bible, you're going to see that 7 is a wonderful number in the Bible, and it's the number of perfection. It's God's number of completion, and God's plan was for these people here. Notice, as we look at this, notice it was for 7 days there. I believe there's an application that we can make. God's desire is for each and every one of us, by His power, not live with unconfessed sin for our entire life. That is God's plan. If we sin, we have to confess our sins. And praise the Lord, the first John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we see there something that we can apply to each and every one of us. Obviously, God's plan was for these people to be involved in this for their entire life. Our desire as Christians should not be to be as close to the world as we can be without being a part of the world. No, our desire should be to be as close to God as we can be. That should be our desire. You see, those are two different mindsets. One says, well, as long as I'm going to church, I can do what I want Monday through Saturday. But our desire should be, God, you have all of me. Every single day, every single moment, whatever you want, that's what I will do. But that is a very rare mindset to find even amongst believers today. Lord, help us. Notice here, they are supposed to rip the leaven from their homes. And we know that in the Bible, leaven, it pictures sin. Of course, I talked about that. So understand here that God was teaching them a truth through this feast. And I believe each and every one of us, I don't know if you mark in your Bible, I like to circle things and add little notes here and there because my mind cannot remember all of these things. There's many things I'll be reading through my Bible and personal devotions or whatever it may be. And I see something, I saw something the other day, and it reminded me of a message that Brother Jeremy McKay preached 4 years ago. And because I saw that little note that I had, I remember that God did my heart during that message. I put things here during the feast as well. That's a good thing to do. Circle the number 7 there if you're in that habit of circling things in your Bible. And I noticed that is God's number of completion there. That's what that number is. God has everything for a purpose. There's not one word in the Bible that God just put there because he needed to fill a word. No, every word matters in the Bible. We know that the Bible says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And it's not just so that we have a list of do's and don'ts. So that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished into all good works. Every single word in the Bible matters. As we go through these feasts, there's going to be many of those nuggets of truth, if you will, that we will attempt to point out with the Lord's help. Notice, first of all, we see the length of the feast. Notice, second of all, here, when we're talking about the Feast of Unleavened Bread, we see the length of the feast. Second of all, we see the preparation for the feast. I want you to look at the book of Leviticus, if you will, and then we're going to go to the book of Matthew. The book of Leviticus and then the book of Matthew. Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 6. Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 6. Notice the Bible says this, and on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread unto the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. Notice as we jump down in the passage here, let me see. Notice in verse 7, in the first day you shall have a holy convocation, serve our work therein. Notice that it's talking about the Feast of Unleavened Bread. If you look over at Matthew, chapter 27, and we're going to look at verse 62. Notice here, we're going to be, of course, you know that they are looking at the Passover here. It's what they're drawing nigh on there, the Passover. And we see here in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 62, the Bible says, now the next day, that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate there. That day of preparation is this day in which they are supposed to be preparing themselves and preparing their homes for the day of unleavened bread, for the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That's what that preparation was there. They were preparing their home there for that day. Now, there's many things in life that we prepare for. There are many things. Interviews and tests in school and all of those types of things. We have many things we prepare for. And this feast here was no different. It took preparation. If you're anything like we are in our home, if we were to ensure that all the yeast was gone out of our home, well, guess what? We would have a lot of bread. to get rid of, amen? But the truth of the matter is, it would take a cleansing, it would take a lot of time, because when they were preparing for this feast of unleavened bread here, they would not just go to their cabinet and say, any of this bread here has got leavening, let's get rid of it. Now, it would go much deeper than that. We're going to be talking about some things. They had special tools that they would use. About these things that they would do in preparation for this feast. Why? Because leaven is a picture of sin. Would to God that when we read the Bible as believers, we would let that be our time of preparation of sin in our lives. Because every time that we read the Bible, you know what the Holy Spirit's doing? He's going to convict and convince us of some sin in our life. The way that we can draw closer to God. And if we refuse to draw closer to God, that is sin in our life. Because we are told that we are to be like Christ. We are told that we are supposed to draw closer to Him. And if we refuse to do that, that is going against the commandment of God. Every time we open the Bible, God desires to speak to us. This should be the cleansing that each and every one of us are searching for, and God will do that in our lives. This was a cleansing day, a cleaning day. Before the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the whole house would be cleaned, the whole thing. And notice I didn't just say the main living areas. I didn't just say just the bathrooms. Just the kitchen. No. The whole house. Everything. The whole house had to be clean. So it would be wiped out. It would be, in today's vernacular there, it would be wiped out, it would be swept, it would be mopped, it would be scrubbed, and all of those things. Everything was to be clean. I can imagine this was a big day for every single home. I can imagine there was furniture being moved about. The family was doing all they could to ensure that not one area was missed. This feast was so much more than just simply not eating leaven. It was a time of cleansing. Cleansing of the home. There could be no leaven anywhere in the home. This is a complete separation from leaven. One writer said this, that the task was taken so seriously that the woman would take a sharp pointed object and clean every little crack and crevice for the smallest speck of leaven. Now, in the homes that they lived in, I can imagine in the homemade mortar and things like that that they had then, I can imagine there would be a lot of cracks in the walls, cracks in the floor, and those types of things. A lot of crevices that needed to be cleaned. It wasn't enough for them to say, well, I'll do all the big ones, but the little ones will be fine. It wasn't enough. See, if they would have done that, they would not have been prepared for the Feast of Unleavened Bread. They had to prepare by cleaning everything. How many times do we talk to the Lord and we say, Lord, I want you to help me to live the victorious Christian life. I want you to cleanse me from sin in my life. The Lord points out an area and we say, not that area, Lord. Let's just shut the door on that area. Let's just leave that one, because if I do something with that area, then I'll be uncomfortable. How many times do we do that? More times than we would like to admit. Because the Holy Spirit is constantly convicting us and convincing us of sin and showing us areas in which we need to clean house, so to speak. These people would be searching. On the day of preparation, there would be what was called this in every home. It was called the search for the leaven. That's what they would call it. In the book about the feast that Brother Starr has written, he said this: after the evening meal, the father would take a candle and a feathered brush and a wooden spoon, and he would search for pieces of leaven that the family minister had purposely hidden before the meal. They would make this, and I guess this information came from Jewish people themselves, but they would make this as a game, so to speak, and the whole family would get involved. They would go through and ensure that everything was gone. But here's what they would do. They would give the father clues about where this leaven could be found. And every time he would find a piece of leaven, here's what the Jewish father would quote: Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with the commandment and commanded us to remove the leaven. That's what the Father would quote. Would be God that we would quote that when it comes to sin in our own lives. You see, what he said there is, yes, he praises God. He notices that he quotes who God is. He says, God, you have sanctified us with the commandment, and you have commanded us to remove this leaven. You've commanded us to remove this sin in our life. A lot of people, of course, each and every one of us, we have sins in our lives that the Holy Spirit is trying to convince us of, and all of those things. Let's let the Holy Spirit do His work. No matter how uncomfortable we think it'll make us, well, if I do that, then I won't have the friends that I have now. Well, if your friends are causing you to live in sin, then they're not the right kind of friends anyway. Separate yourself from them. Each and every one of us, we need to understand that the Lord has commanded us to remove this leaven from our lives in the picture of sin. The very next morning, the leaven that the Father would find, they would burn the remnants of that leaven that they had found. And after they did all that they could to rid the leaven from the house, because of the effects of leaving leaven there, notice, as we have read through these passages here, that the ones who left leaven there, of course, they were bad things that were going to happen to them. We read that as we went through the passage there. So to ensure that they had done all of the leaven out, and just in case there was any speck there about the mess, but God still saw. And here's what they would say. After they did all of that, they would pray and ask God. They would say, God, we did everything that we could to remove the leaven from our house and from our lives. But if there's anything left, they said, we ask you to annul that, but to destroy any leaven left in that house. Because they took it seriously. You know, this world that we live in, sin is laughed at. In this world that we live in, sin is not something that is taken seriously. And unfortunately, we see that even in the lives of believers. I've had believers that I've been talking to, and I've heard them joke about the curse words that sometimes slip because of their past life. Joking about it. God, that's just who I was, and sometimes it just comes out when I get mad. We should never rejoice over sin. No, we should be asking God, Lord, if there's any sin in my life that is, if there's anything that is separating me from you and that communion that you desire to have with me, Lord, rid that sin from my life. That's what our prayer should be. I believe that if we as believers would pay as close attention to the sin in our lives as the Jews did for the leaven in their homes, if we allowed the Lord to remove the sin as He removed the leaven, then we would come into the house of God rejoicing with a clear conscience. But many times, we come into the house of God understanding the ways that we have transgressed against God in this past week. We come in thinking about the message maybe we heard last Sunday. We never done anything yet. With the truth that we were told, we told the Holy Spirit, help me to live in this truth. And then as soon as we walk out those doors, we shut off God, we shut off the Holy Spirit, and we come in the next Sunday understanding that we have shut God off and we haven't talked to Him all week, and all of those things, and we continue that cycle over and over and over again. We as believers, we need to come into the house of God knowing that we've asked God to cleanse all the leaven from our lives. Lord, help us. Just as the Feast of Unleavened Bread was meant to be a feast in which they could praise the Lord with a clear conscience, that's how our lives should be as well. Every single day, doing as the Apostle Paul said, dying to the flesh daily. There's a picture here of sin and being cleansed from sin in the Feast of Unleavened Bread. notice not only the length of the feast, or not only the preparations for the feast, but notice the bread of the feast. Hopefully we understand here what kind of bread was to be consumed during this feast. It is the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and hopefully we all know that, well, during this time, they're supposed to eat unleavened bread, amen? They don't have leavened bread there. And I saw something as I was studying for this message, and I was looking at this, just doing some studying about the bread and those types of things, and of course, as I mentioned, I believe it was on Sunday, during the Father's Day message, I mentioned the different ones, Supreme Court Justice or whatever it may be, that could not even define what a woman was. And I saw this thing online and it made me chuckle, because when they're spelling bees, oftentimes when they go to they'll tell the person that's in the spelling bee, they'll say, this is the word. And many times, the person to get a greater understanding of the word, they'll say this, could you define that for me? And the spelling bee that was being offered, the word for this young child was woman. And the child asked the person who was asking the spell, said, can you define that, please? And it's just hilarious to me, because you've got these ones in this word, and they cannot even define what that is. So here, this word was unleavened bread. That's all it was. It was unleavened bread. There was no leaven whatsoever that was in this bread. This bread was made of only this special white flour, if you will, and water. There was no salt. There was no seasonings. The whole process of making the bread was overseen by someone who knew the Old Testament law. You could not make this bread if there was not somebody there that knew the Old Testament law. After the white flour and water were put together, it would be pressed and it would be rolled into flat cakes. And then they would take an instrument that was designed to prick this dough, to poke this dough there, and they would pierce it, and they would bake it in an extremely hot oven. That was the bread that was to be eaten at the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That's all it was this specialized, this white flour there, and water. Mix it together, throw it in the oven, you got unleavened bread, amen? Doesn't sound appetizing to me, it's what the Lord commanded there, and that's what they were to do. You know what also doesn't sound appetizing to our flesh? Putting our life of sin. That doesn't sound appetizing either. That's what God's commanded us to do. He's commanded us to do that. Lord, help us to understand what God says in His Word. I want you to notice here, lastly this evening, notice here what we learn from the feast. So we've looked at these many things here. We have looked at the length of the feast, the preparations for the feast there. We've looked at the bread of the feast. We looked at those things. And now what we learn from this feast. Now, I want you to notice here, you've got some scriptures there on the bottom, and we're going to read those here in just a little bit. If you want to find yourselves in 1 Corinthians, we'll be going to 2 Corinthians after that. But the purpose of this entire feast is all boiled down to this. It was to remind the people that they were supposed to be removed from the old life. That's what it was to remind them of. It was so simple. Yes, there were obligations, there were rules that they had to keep there, but this was a reminder to these people that they were no longer in bondage. God had delivered them, and therefore, because He's delivered them from that, the same God had the power to deliver them from Egypt, this world power, this world that no nation would dare go up against at that time. God delivered them from that world power, and God is saying, I can deliver you from your sins as well. Each and every day, as you go through life, as you go through the temptations that the devil is going to send you away, He said, I am powerful enough to help you with those things. You know what it took? It took a desire to be cleansed. That's what it took. There was a lot of work that went into this day. But they would gladly do that because of their desire to ensure there was no leaven. A lot of work that goes into living a victorious Christian life as well. And there's going to be failures. There's going to be difficulties. I'm not saying the Christian life is going to be just a bed of roses. Now, Lord Jesus Christ himself said that in this world you shall have tribulations. He said, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. You see, he's delivered us from that bondage. Therefore, these besetting sins that we have each and every day, that sin that is all around us in this world, it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman, there's sin everywhere. There's sins that try to catch our eye, try to catch our emotions, and all of those sins, it seems as though they're surrounded on every friend, mother, and that's everywhere we turn. There's sin here, we turn over here, and there's sin, this sin over. But here is right in our face, we turn back here. Our sin is right in our family and all of our sins. So in the midst of all of that, God says, I can help you. But you have to have a desire to be clean. Now I think of the leper that came to Christ, and I believe the detailed account for this is in the book of Luke. Here's what the leper said to Christ. He comes to Christ and he says, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. That's what he said. You know what the Lord said? I will. Be thou clean. That's what he said. There's many believers who have lived with a sin in their life that they feel as though they'll never get the victory over. They've allowed Satan to convince them of that. The same God that healed that leper is the same God that can help us with those sins as well. It's going to take a desire to be cleansed and to put some guardrails up in our lives. God was showing these people that they should be separated from worldliness and carnality. They were to draw near unto God and should be separated unto Him. Unfortunately, we as believers do not see our sin as something that we should be separated from. You know how believers see sin? Here's how we see our sin. Well, a little sin's fine as long as I'm better than the person at the other end of the pew. That's how believers have lived for too long, myself included. That one time in Scripture, we're told to compare ourselves to another person. We're told to compare ourselves to the righteousness of God. God was telling them here that, or showing them through this feast of unleavened bread, that they should be separated unto Him. We as believers, we should see our sin as just that. It is sin. God was not trying to teach the Jews that they should just be better than someone else. And that's not what we should learn from this either. We should see that we are commanded to be completely clean from leaven to the best of our ability with the power of the Holy Spirit. We should allow God to cleanse us from those sins. Why is it that we are not as concerned about our sin as they were about their leaven? I think each and every one of us, we would all agree that we need some spring cleaning in our lives in one way or another. Some cracks and crevices where some leaven is falling through. You know what it's going to take? Just like that specialized tool that they had to get into those spaces, we have that specialized tool as well. It's right here. God will cleanse us. We have to allow Him. Are we separated from the world? You know the word separate, it means this, apart from. There's a nugget of truth for you worth $1 million, amen? To be separate from something is to be apart from it. But we live in a world in which the world is more concerned about being separated from the Bible than believers are about being separated from the world. It shouldn't be that way. The Feast of Unleavened Bread was a picture of new life and freedom that was found in Christ, and no longer enslaved to the world, the flesh, and the devil. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7 through 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 through 8. Notice the Bible says this. Put out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. You know, if you have sincerity and truth, what you're not going to find there is sin. We see sincerity and truth in the Word of God. That's where it's found. But we don't find sin. We when it comes to the Word of God. Yes, it talks about sin. It declares that sin is what separates us from God. But this is truth. God knew no sin. We are told to be separate from that leaven. Leaven is described as a fermentation, a corruption, and just a little bit of it would contaminate the whole batch. We must be separated from the ones who water down the Bible, the ones who do not agree on the fundamental doctrines of the Bible. We are to separate from them. We are to call out sin, because if we do not, then our carnality and sin and rebellion and worldliness that will spread like wildfire. It will take over the church, and before you know it, the doors of the church will be closed, not because of the church standing on Christ is gone now, but because for too long our believers in the local assembly have allowed that leaven in them, allowed those to go by, and they've kept that leaven in their homes, and they've kept it hid behind closed doors, and they've not asked the Lord to cleanse them from that, and that leaven comes, and it leaveneth, what the Bible say, the whole lump. Lord, help us. They'll take over everyone. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and we'll be done here. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. Notice here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 17. Notice the Bible says this. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. We're told to come out from among them. That means to separate ourselves. Why? Because we should not be continually influenced, to the best of our ability, continually influenced with the weight that this world is carrying around. That's sin. Very rarely does good pull the bad up. Very commonly does the bad pull the good down. There's a man, I believe, Brother Delaney, I believe you were the one that was with me, a man down here on Limestone Road, and the man flippantly told us that one day that he takes the gospel to the bar with him. How sad. How sad is that? To be separate. Church, the only way we can be separate, and notice it's not only separated from the world, it's separated to Christ. The only way we can do that is by realizing that that sin in our life is leaven. And God wants it to be separated from our life, wants us to be cleansed, wants every area of our life to be cleansed for Him. Come out from among them. A separate people. I'm going to give you actually on the bottom of your handout there, there's some more verses there. I would recommend that you read those when you get time there. There's some good verses there in James and also in 1 Thessalonians. But notice, the unleavened bread is served after the lamb was slain. And our Christian life begins after we accept the slain lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who paid for our sins. That's when it begins for us. People were to remove all the leaven from their home, and we are to strive to let the Holy Spirit remove the sin from our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. The separation from the world that we read about in 1 Thessalonians should be something that we carefully guard. Guard your testimony. Do not give the devil an area to accuse you. As we talk about the Passover, we will see that it speaks of our walk with God to salvation, but this Feast of Unleavened Bread, it speaks of our walk with God to holiness and truth. We need to walk with Him. For too long, Christians have focused on only being separated from the world, and what we have become is a group of people who look down upon people's dress and their mannerisms and their way of life, and not simply because so much focus has been on being separated from the world. We do not see them as souls in need of a Savior. All we see is a sin that they're in. They need to be saved. If it were not for the grace of God, we'd be in the same boat, if not worse. Lord, help us. The power of the Holy Spirit to remove that sin from our lives. Let's live a godly life with godly love and be gentle with people, leading them along. Let's realize that we should be separated from the world. The church, it cannot stop there. Let's realize we need to be separated unto God. You know, we can enjoy the fellowship with our Lord. You know, it's amazing the way that God speaks to us from His Word. And what's even more amazing than that is this thought, that He desires to speak to us from His Word. His desire is that each and every one of us would commune with Him. How do we commune with God? By allowing Him to get the leaven out of our lives, being cleansed. The feast of unleavened bread. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You this evening, and Lord, we just thank You so much for Your goodness and Your grace. Lord, I thank You, Lord, for when I was a 7-year-old boy and I trusted You as my personal Savior. I thank You, Lord, for the many things that, Lord, through Your power, You have removed from my life, Lord, as far as the sin is concerned and leaven. But, Lord, I know that I've got a long way to go. Lord, each and every one of us do. Lord, we know that we're nothing without You. Lord, I pray that, Lord, even right now, during this invitation that we're going to take here in just a moment, Lord, I pray that even in the smallest area of our life, the smallest little crack in our life, Lord, if there's leaven there, I pray that You would point that out to us. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us would have a desire for You to show that to us, Lord. Shine a light on that dark place where that leaven is. Lord, I pray that we would have a desire to let You cleanse us from that. Lord, help us, Lord, with the power of Your Holy Spirit. Your head's bowed and your eyes closed. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, Pastor Combs, I know there's an area in my life in which the Holy Spirit has pointed out to me. I know it's an area of leaven, though it may be the smallest of small areas. I know there's something that the Holy Spirit is telling me I need to take care of. Something. Maybe it's minor, maybe it's something large. But whatever it may be, it's small in God's eyes, I can guarantee you that. Maybe that's you here tonight and you say there's an area in which the Holy Spirit spoke to my life tonight. Would you slip your hand up? My hand's right there with you. There's areas in which we need to be cleansed. Believers, God wants to help us. We're not fighting this battle alone. We cannot cleanse our homes alone. It's only through His power. So